Well, in our evening services in the past month or so, I've been trying to answer questions that I'm asked from you, the congregation. There's a little box at the back for you, those of you that don't know, and you don't even have to tell me who you are. I do my best to answer the questions I get, if I think they're worth preaching on, obviously. And tonight I'd like to answer a question that I've been asked, which I think really needs to be addressed. I don't want to mention who asked this question, although I do have suspicions. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But this question is a question that many of us have asked at certain times in our life. Let me read the question to you. Listen to this. I see so much that needs to be done in this world in the name of Jesus. I'd long to get more involved, but I feel too unworthy to get involved. How can I get more confidence so that I can step forward to serve better? Well, you know, that's a very brave and a very important question. In fact, it's very possible that the person who asked this question is not alone. I'm pretty sure of it. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel that same way. You might not put it in the same words. You'd like to get more involved. You'd like to do things for Christ. You realize there's so few people standing on the front line, but you just feel inadequate, unworthy, weak. Well, tonight, let's consider God's word on this question. And let's look at this reading. I'm going to read verses 26 to 29 of 1 Corinthians. In the passage that was just read, we start at verse 26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. This is not a good thing for your ego. Listen to this. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Notice verse 27, God chose the foolish things of this world. Now just stop here for a moment. We've heard it many times. Think about this. Who chose the foolish things? God. It goes on. God chose the weak things. God chose the lowly things. The despised things. That means people look down their nose upon. God chose things that are not relevant or cool. Do you see that very clearly there? In other words, these are the sort of people we read that God has especially opted to have in his kingdom. God has elected such people deliberately. Remember, God's under no compulsion. He can choose who he wants. And we're told here that God has a very specific reason for doing what he's done. God chooses the weak to shame the strong. He chooses the foolish to shame the wise. He chooses the lowly and the despised of this world with the purpose of shaming those who are glorified and honored and lifted up in the godless world. And God, we read, has a very specific reason why he's chosen the people he has, the despised, the weak. We read this in verse 29. So that, there's the particle of purpose in the Greek, the hina. There's a purpose. It's so that no one may boast before him. God intends to take all of the glory for the building of his kingdom. God will not share his glory. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we looked at that. God has no time for show-offs, for glory seekers. God has especially chosen to do his work in this world by using, listen, the most unexpected instruments. That's clearly what we're being told here. So to answer the person that wrote that question and put it in the box, listen, if you feel tonight, well, I'm speaking to all of you, if you sometimes feel inadequate, unworthy, too weak, too unqualified, then according to this reading tonight, you are exactly the type of person that God is looking for. God chooses that kind of person. Now, if you're still unconvinced about what I've said, how about if I give you just a few examples from the Bible to prove this is God's regular pattern of working? God picks the losers again and again. Can I give you just two or three or four? How about Sarah, the wife of Abraham? Now, you know that she was a woman that had been barren all her life. She'd never been able to bear children. But not only that, Sarah was long past childbearing age. Even if her womb would have been healthy, she was not able to bear children. Now, if anyone was considered unqualified and unlikely to be the person that God would choose to birth the chosen seed, surely it wouldn't be her, of all people, to bring about the beginning of the promise of Abraham, the seed that would end in Christ and his church. He chooses someone that no one in the wildest dreams would have considered. An elderly person, long past childbearing age, but her womb had never been able to bear a child anyway. God chose Sarah. In fact, you know, when the angels came to Sarah in Genesis and they told Abraham, she was listening inside the tent. She shouldn't have been eavesdropping, but she heard the angels say, "You're going to have a child with your wife Sarah." Do you know, she laughed. She thought the idea was ludicrous. It was ridiculous. And she got caught out. Do you know what Isaac means in Hebrew? Yitzhak. Laughter. In other words, ha ha, big joke, here's your child. The most unexpected person, a barren elderly person, you're the one I'm going to use, God says, to bring about the miracle child. Think of another one. What about Gideon? You know that cowardly man Gideon? The Gibeonites had occupied Canaan and they were suppressing the Hebrews. And we read that Gideon was threshing his floor, not out in the open field, but undercover. He was cowering. The Hebrew makes it very clear. He was sort of ducking under. He was cowering away from being seen, working, but too afraid to work out in the open because he was afraid of the Gibeonite bullies coming along and picking on him. And God calls this man to lead an army against the Gibeonites. When God calls Gideon, he's working in a pit, cringing, hiding from the enemy, And do you know what the angel says to Gideon when he meets him? Hail, mighty warrior. Now, he's not being sarcastic. This is God's way of working. In God's eyes, this frightened, intimidated man was to be the military leader who was going to conquer the Gibeonites. God picked the cringing man. Could pick a couple. What about Isaiah? The prophet Isaiah had an amazing vision of God. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And his response when he sees God is a response of fear and terror. Woe is me, he says, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm a sinner, and I've seen the Lord. He's scared now because he realizes he's not a good person. He doesn't deserve to be in the presence of God. He felt he was too bad, too sinful to have this vision. And yet God wants Isaiah. He's the one he calls and sends. You see, these are the sort of people throughout the Bible that God uses. The barren is the one. In fact, it's not only Sarah. Think of other cases. Think about Samson's mother. Think about what could go on and on. God uses barren women to bring about special children. God uses cowardly men to be great leaders of his armies. He chooses weak people. What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah is called, and he says, no, Lord, I'm too young. Surely you can't send me. Well, God says, no, young as you are, I am sending you. The Bible clearly shows us that you're never too young or too old or too weak or too bad to do his work. God deliberately chooses certain people, people who do not have strength of their own, the weak, the despised. He does it so that all of the glory will go to him. So if tonight, like the person that asked this question in the letter, you feel unworthy to do anything important for God, you need to realize that our text tells us tonight God especially chooses people like you. And this is what we read in the infallible word of God. God chooses those who are foolish in the eyes of the world, weak, despised, lowly, insignificant, and he deliberately does it for his own glory. God does not want to share his glory with anyone when he builds his kingdom. He wants no proud person to try and steal his glory. God chooses to work with broken vessels again and again. And we're clearly told this tonight. So in answer to your question, how can I know if I'm worthy enough? If you're not worthy and if you're weak and feeling insignificant, you're probably just the right sort of person God will use. Let me give you an example of how this is so and how God gets the glory from using the weak people. It's a silly example, but just supposing an athlete ran and broke a new speed record. What's the record now at the moment for speed? I don't know, some crazy. But imagine now if a man, an athlete, ran a new speed record, and afterwards all the press get around him and the TV, and they're interviewing him, and he says very humbly, oh, all the glory goes to God. You know, God alone helped me to do this. Do you think they're going to take him seriously? No, they're not. He's an athlete. He's got the body which can be pushed to break records. They'll give the glory to his coaches. They'll give him glory for his discipline and his hard work. But come on, it's just religious people that say praise God. It won't be taken serious if a competent athlete breaks a new record. Well, you know, what a man. But now let me be ridiculous. Imagine if a man with a broken leg breaks the speed record. All right, he runs and he breaks the record. And then the newspapers get around him. And he says, all the glory to God. Let me tell you, they'll have big ears. You know why? Because they'll realize it could never have happened unless God Almighty was involved in it. How could someone like that achieve this? Do you get the picture? This is how God works, and he works with broken vessels, and he puts his treasure into jars of clay for the purpose that no one will boast, but God gets all the glory. Now, if tonight you're somebody who feels inadequate, and this feeling is stopping you from reaching out and doing things for God, firstly, let me tell you straight, you're not humble. Don't try and play your violin. You're not humble. If you're honest, somebody that doesn't really believe what we read here. You do not believe that God puts his treasure in earthen vessels. So please realize that weakness, fear, inadequacy is no excuse for any of you in serving God for the kingdom. You're never too old, never too young, never too weak, never too uneducated or overeducated, you name it. God deliberately chooses the weak, the inadequate, and the despised for his work. He's always done it, and he will until he comes in glory. It's put this way in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Paul writes, God saying, my power is made perfect in weakness. So to the brave person who wrote that particular question, the simple answer to what you ask is this. If you are weak, if you feel inadequate, if you feel unqualified or scared or unworthy, then actually you are exactly the sort of person that God wants to use. In fact, all you have to do is look at the Bible. Abraham was an elderly man when he was called out to go to unknown places. His wife Sarah was barren and way past childbearing age, and then she's told she's going to bear the most important child that's ever been born. Gideon was cringing and hiding in that place when he was called out to be a military leader. Isaiah felt that he just wasn't good enough to be in the presence of God, and he saw things that turned out to be the glory of Christ if you read the Gospel of John. Jeremiah claimed he was too young, and I could go on and on, but you get the picture. In fact, do you realize when Jesus went out looking for disciples, now if you're recruiting disciples, they are going to be the foundation of the church for the next 2,000 years or for however long it takes before Jesus comes. He walked right past the training theological seminaries. All those rabbis and priests that were educated in Jerusalem, he bypassed them all and goes to Capernaum and chooses unlettered fishermen and a tax collector. Was he joking? No, he's going to show the foolishness of man can outsmart the stupid wisdom of man. Jesus could have called the cream of academic Judaism. And he goes and gets unlettered fishermen. In fact, we read in the book of Acts, when the Jews see the disciples on trial at the Sanhedrin, it says they were amazed because they knew letters. Here are these fishermen and they're telling us theology. They're stumping us in theology. Who are these people? God has chosen the weak and the foolish and the lowly and the despised to do great things for him. Now, maybe you're here tonight and that's offended your pride. Maybe you think, oh, I don't fit into those categories. And I've got good news for you. If you're a highfalutin, important, clever, gifted person, God has people like that in his church as well. There aren't many, but there are some very gifted, very good-looking, very nice, smart, wonderful, clever people. But even those people give all the glory to God. They cast their crowns before the Lord because it's by the grace of God they got the gifts they've got. If it offends you, then realize that, you know, okay, God can use charming people as well, but nobody truly knows the glory but God. And I've learned this lesson in my own life. I felt pretty bad about this morning. I mean, I really struggled to breathe this morning. Let me brag a bit to you. Do you know, I used to take pride in the fact that I had the gift of the gab. I had a particular gift, public communication, and I used to lecture at a college, and I used to take part in debates, and I really thought I could talk myself out. When I was in school, I could talk myself out of fights and things like that. Gift of the gab. And in the past few years, I've struggled just to get words out speaking in public. Let me tell you, it punches your pride, especially if you've made a living out of speaking. But you know, at the same time, in the past few years, I know I'm not the preacher I was. I'll just be honest to you now. I'm not looking for any sympathy. That's a fact. But he's given me messages I've never received before. I cannot explain it. Because I wouldn't choose to be in this position if I was. In fact, I know I'm being a bit autobiographical now, but the glory goes to God, even in our brokenness and our weakness. To the person that asked this question, and I'm glad you asked that question, I hope you don't just leave it now. And anyone here who may feel weak and unqualified and inadequate, know that God is able to do amazing things through you. And maybe not in spite of your weakness, but because of your weaknesses, people are going to go, wow, what a God, when they see what you do. So what I'd like to say to you, if you feel inadequate, is take your five fishes and three loaves, or three loaves and five fishes, and give them to Jesus. And see what amazing things he can do through you. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we realize that you're doing something in this world, and you're using a church that was founded upon fishermen. And you've taken, Lord, barren women and made them birth promised children. You've taken cringing men and made them into military leaders. Dear Father, you took Christ, who was despised and rejected of men, and raised him to King of all kings. And we know, Lord, in this little church that has nothing flashy in it, you're doing something big, something amazing for your kingdom. I pray for anyone here that feels inadequate. Lord, may we realize this passage speaks to us. You've chosen such as us to bring glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. May we be found willing. Amen.